Now let's quickly take our declaration of understanding. It's our habit. All right, one, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Before you sit down, please open your Bibles quickly. We were supposed to do that first, but let me just say it escaped me for a moment. Let's take the declaration of the glory of the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm 66. Now, one, two, let's go. Shout joyfully to the God all the earth. Send glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your works. Because of the greatness of Your power, Your enemies will give faint obedience to You. All the earth will worship You and sing praise to You. They will sing praises to Your name. Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in His deeds toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. He rules by His might forever. His eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples, and sound His praise abroad, who keeps us in life and does not allow our foot to slip. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father God, we thank You. It's a beautiful day. Thank You because You have heard our prayers. Your Holy Spirit is here already to enlighten us, Your people. Thank You for opening our hearts. We give You praise in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's take our seats. We've already taken our declaration of understanding. Okay, let's begin today. We have been looking at, okay, this is our third day on it. We are looking at sin, righteousness, thank you, and God's judgment. Sin, righteousness, and God's judgment. That's what we are looking at. So, to begin today, I would like us to read two portions of the Holy Scriptures. The first one is Psalm 19. Please open your Bibles to Psalm 19. I will start from verse 7 and I'll read to the end of that. All right. It said, the law of the Lord is perfect. New Living Translation says, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, restoring the soul. I'm reading New American Standard, please. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Please, note that. Human beings don't think so, but these are the facts of life. Yesterday and last Friday, we're studying the mind of Christ. And this is the mind of Christ. Amen. This is God's standpoint. This is what the Lord is saying about the situation. That they are more desirable than gold. It is better to have the Lord's law or the instructions, using New Living Translation, of the Lord. It's better to have His decrees, His commandments, than to have gold. You are richer as a believer that knows what God is saying than the people of the world that don't, even though the fellow is a multimillionaire counting in any currency. Even though the person is a billionaire counting in any currency. They are to be
They said they are more desirable than gold. Now, notice this. Yes, than much fine gold. Not just gold, but that having plenty of that gold. I pray we believe this. He said they are more desirable than plenty fine gold. They are sweeter than honey, even the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, beyond all of this, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great delight. That is, life is complex. Life is complicated. The things that will destroy you, they will feel good. The only way you will know to be safe is if you follow the instructions of the Almighty. I hope you're getting my point. Life is complex. It's an interesting maze. It's a confusing maze. That's how life is. The only way you will survive is by following his instructions. He said, moreover, that is beyond the fact that they are more desirable than gold, beyond the fact that they are better than plenty of that gold, much fine gold, beyond the fact that truly they are more nutritious than honey. He said, beyond that is that that's what is keeping me safe. He said, moreover, by them, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. There is great safety. There is great security. In keeping the instructions of God, his decrees, his commands, your life is kept safe. Which, in this context, is even more important than having plenty of gold. The Lord said, what shall it profit a man? All right? But remember the statement he made before then. It was a parable. He said, this man, you're a fool. This night, your life is required of you. Now said, who will now inherit all these things you have amassed? Basically, no matter how much gold you have, if you don't have life, it comes to what? Nothing. So what was David saying to us here? What keeps me alive is what the Lord is saying. Life is confusing. Life is full of enticements. I remember one song we learned when we were children. When I say children, I mean primary school. I remember I learned that song around the age of 7, 8. It said, you are traveling. He said, my boy, you're starting my boy on life's journey. That is, my boy, you're starting on life's journey. He said, this world is full of temptations. There's danger wherever you go. What was he saying? That by the instructions I'm giving you, have courage to say no. That line he said, you are going to be, I forgot the exact words now, but you are going to face much temptation. That's how life is. I'll give this example. Every day, opportunities to make money, they abound. When I say they abound now, I don't mean true. I mean that they tell you. I have some people around us that are always telling people every day how to make money quickly. I don't want to mention where they are. Not inside this hall. Somewhere not too far from us. And I look and say, this amount of effort you are putting into this thing. If you just used to learn a trade and do one small, you fare better. But the point I'm making is that every day they are telling you how to make money quickly. Young people have been told you can make money quickly. Please let me say it again. There's no quick money. What did I say? Even if it existed, it's poisonous. Let's put it like that. Even if it existed, it's poisonous. So now, where I'm going is that, so you go out every day, you get those temptations. Sometimes it looks legitimate. They'll tell you, you put down 500,000 naira, every month will be giving you 100,000 naira. What will I be doing? Just sit down there. Or you can bring more people. Please, it's quick money, you don't need it. There are all kinds of methods in this life. They offer you all kinds of methods to make money quick. There's only one instruction you need. That's where I'm going. There are different methods. Something I've talked about people, young people who go and learn. Do you know there are schools for that thing? If you're a young man, you go for that place. Just know you are going to learn how to destroy your future. I was surprised. One pastor called me that I went to their church to preach. I was told that they were trying to persuade one of their young people not to go. I said, listen, you see, you are being too nice. That's why some people don't like me. In fact, you know what I heard in that church? When they heard that they are having a special weekend on prosperity, and they heard I was the special guest. Bad market. That amongst young people, see, panic arose. Who's coming to preach? Pastor Van, what is he going to say? But their pastor was anointed to tell, no, I'm the one that will come and teach. When I finished with them, everybody was grateful to God. Because I said, look, listen, first, I came to tell you that if you don't listen to me, you'll be frustrated. You will never be rich. You will die early. Yes, that, I didn't play with anybody. I don't have a message or trying to make you feel good. I'll tell you the truth. I said, the problem with you is that, you see, you want to tell this young man, well, he's not. I said, tell him the truth. Go, you won't come back alive. Tell him like that. You are making, like, am I begging you? Go first. May I advise you? Oh, it's not good. Oh. Go. If I'm called of God, when you come back, you won't be normal. You will spend a year in psychiatric hospital. Go first. That's why I go talk to you. Who get time to do? I didn't train my children. Beg, ask them. All of them here. No more. No chop cane. You see all of them. From this big man to that small boy. From the pastor of a church. I'm not going to beg any young man. I will dare you. That's when you know I'm anointed. The day you arrive the place is when they will raid the place. Because of the prayer I've prayed for you, you'll be in solitary confinement in EFCC jail. They will forget you there for 3 days. Hunger will teach you a lesson that nobody else could teach you. You will come back to me and say, sir, you are a man of God. You are called. Because before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now, I am obeying your word. Not even God, but you, pastor. I'm following you now. There's just one word. That's what I'm saying. To deliver everybody from this, don't love quick money. My sister said there was something she... She told everybody, they come to her, you know, her place, put money here, do this and that. She has never lost a dime. Do you know the only thing that guides her? One word. Say, pastor, quoting me, her elder brother, say, pastor said it's not good. No matter the story you tell, say, no, pastor said it's not good. Pastor said it doesn't work. They come selling all kinds of things, say, pastor said. Of course, not pastor just as in pastor, but the word of God which I preached. That's what she's quoting. That is, listen to this. He said, by them, your servant is warned. One day, a man came to me, and sorry, I went to see him. Well, a bank manager, not a small man. He said, Pastor Banky, you are the one that can. He was showing me checks. Let's use today's naira, because this was many years ago. In today's naira, show me one check, 3 million naira, one check, 5, one check, 2. If I had photocopies of them. Say, it's not this place I'm getting my money, this is where I'm getting my money from. I said, ah. He said, you are the one that can move this thing forward. I was looking at him, I said, you don't see, let me just tell you something. Let me tell you now, in case you don't know me. If I've said it before, and you better be like this. Once somebody presents something to me, and the only motivation is that it makes money. That is the reason why I will say no. I can't be worshiping mammon. See, I've thought about this many times, all right? Again, this over the last few days. Say, dear Lord, we started with you many years ago. I still remember when you started pulling me from secondary school. I know I will follow the university. I know I will make choices for you. I say, I won't turn back now. I don't know where you are getting my point. I mean, You're talking over 40 years. Look, I don't care how difficult or how narrow the road becomes. I am not turning back. Squeeze me, let me die. I ain't going back. I've invested too much in following the Lord. The Lord has invested too much in me. You can't come and collect my destiny now because of some money. Yesterday, men, we sat down here, we're discussing. I said, the temptations of life, they don't go away. No matter how senior you become as a Christian, no matter how many years you served God, I said, keep watching. This Satan doesn't give up. God gave that one to him. He's always trying to pull you out from the narrow path. So at this point in my life, you come to me now, you want to use money to make me change what I'm preaching? Outward success? You don't understand. It's not you I'm looking at. I'm looking at the past 40 years. My wife and I were talking yesterday night. I was just telling her stories, you know. Looking back at those days, you know, talking about Pastor Courage, Mommy Ann, you know, how we've known each other for so long. I told her that that next year to make 40 years that I met Mommy Ann. Yeah, next year to be 40 years, 1987. I've known Pastor Courage in 1990. So I'm just talking about things we have passed through together and all of that. You know, we were just listening about it yesterday. I said, no. I said, together we will follow the Lord. I said, no, I don't care. You can tell me that your mate. I said, listen, leave that matter. What I'm thinking of is that one day the Lord will come. Let it not be that they say, Banky has departed from me. Following God does not always, you know, that is one. You know, we're talking about yesterday. If you followed us online, please try on Fridays, 5 p.m. Join Kingdom Word Radio. That's the only way you can listen. It's not on YouTube. It's not anywhere else. We stream it only on Kingdom Word Radio on Fridays. We're discussing it yesterday. Okay, well, actually, we have a way of just sitting down and chilling out afterwards. So we're just talking here. So guys, this Satan does not relent though. And people keep on leaving the narrow path to follow him. And there's always a reason. The reason is that this path is not paying. And let me tell you, it does not always pay. The Red Prince explained it. Something I've been saying, I heard him preach it. He said, your reward, see, we don't like it, but it's the truth. As a Christian, your reward is in heaven. You give an offering today, does not guarantee anything next week. Anybody tells you it does, lies to you. He's a false prophet. There are two types of false prophets. Those who come to do business in Christianity. And those who are just confused, they don't know the truth. No matter how sincere you are, if you say something that is false, it is false. There's one I saw yesterday, we were laughing about it. One lady said, because the Muslims, men, that northern Nigeria, you know, they crouch or sit to empty their bladder. That's why they don't have prostate cancer. Have you heard that thing before? It was flying around. How many of you heard it? It was flying around. I said, you see, the people and the person that interviewed me said, oh, wow. I said, come on, this girl is lying. Let's not even talk about whether it works or it doesn't work. They have as much prostate cancer as every other black group of people on this earth. So that premise alone, just like whatever they're doing, is crap. I look at the person, they're talking. I say, don't you people who interview people check their qualification? Please, people. Hey, no, I've warned all of you. Please, let's go. Those of you listen to me. When you go online, be careful who talks health matters to you. 9 out of 10 of those who say this online, they don't even know what they are saying. Let me not leave my message. I just want to drop that because you know it's flying around now. Now, why did I even go into that? I was trying to say something. What was it? I just got distracted now. Oh. Yes. They may be sincere. I have a feeling the lady who was talking was sincere. She was just thoroughly ignorant. Going beyond her scope. And that's the problem. So when people speak convincingly and sincerely, you think it means they are right? It doesn't mean they are right. A lot of your pastors, I'm sorry to say, are wrong. They don't know. Your reward is not on this earth. Give all you want. God does not promise you he'll multiply that thing tomorrow. And like I say all the time, why do I want him to multiply it tomorrow? Why take from my own investment into eternity and bless me temporarily? I don't want it to. Jesus died for a lot. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Is that maybe you're a young boy now, you know, you're doing small business, you're in university, and then your father announced it because you have saved money, pay part of your school fees, and the man talking is a millionaire. He said, Daddy, that one where I save, it's not for you. Daddy, I've transferred the school fees, I believe the small business I'm trying to build. I don't know whether you're getting my point. And that's how it is with us. The Lord is very rich. Amen? I don't need him. If I give an offering, please don't use that offering to bless me. God, please, let's not short our eternal ration. Use the one Jesus died for to bless me. This one they call treasure in heaven. Eh? Let me meet it in heaven. Don't. Jesus died for a lot. Where I'm going is that, please, don't do your own good works and be hoping on it for your blessing tomorrow. God has promises for you. Just keep walking righteously, doing what is right before him, and let him bless you. Where I'm going with all these things is that, please, brethren, by, what did David say? He said, by them, your servant is warned. Let's keep on the right track. Let people not distract us away from the way of the Lord. Everything you are doing to serve God now, please don't measure your life by material success. The reward of believers is actually still in heaven. No, I'm not saying God won't bless you on the earth. I'm just saying you are not struggling. You are giving money now so that God can multiply it tomorrow. No, the good works of righteousness you are doing now is for eternity. Listen, let me just say this. You love the Lord, just love the Lord. Amen? Amen. Do what is pleasing in his sight. And if you need anything, ask God for it. What did I say? And ask in faith. Let your works reflect the fact that you trust God and you want to walk with him. I feel like I say it one more time. You know, I said it more than 100,000 times, I think, by now. And I think it's almost literal. Stop giving 500 naira so that God can return you 5,000. That doctrine is totally not true. It's not founded on the full counsel of scripture. It's only when you take scripture and isolate it. That's when you start having such ideas. There are so many scriptures we put together. Yes, they were talking about it here. The woman of Shunem. Do you remember that woman of Shunem? She took care of Elisha and the servant Gehazi. Do you remember? What was the reason she did it? She said, "This I perceive that this is a holy man of God." It's called honor. She honored God by honoring the prophet. The prophet was so moved and impressed by the things that she did that the prophet called and said, "What can we do for you?" You know, if it's a lot of Pentecostals, once he says it like this, the list of prayer points. "Sir, thank you for asking. I want my business to grow up tenfold. I want a new house. I want a new..." Of course, he's not going to dash you. He's going to pray. By the anointing upon him, "Pray that my daughter abroad, who is pregnant, will deliver safely. Pray that my son that is looking for work will get double portion." Why? That's why you are doing everything you are doing. You are trying to provoke the hand of God. The prophet now said, "What can we do for you? You have your prayer list ready. Oh God. If I don't even pray, just anoint it." But this woman, unlike us, they asked her, "What do you want?" She said what? "Nothing." She said nothing. "Ah, okay, we know people. Do we talk to the captain of the army for you, the chief of army staff?" "No." "Ah, the king fears me. I can talk to the king. No, he said, I live amongst my people. Now, let me add my own words. So why were you doing all of these things? Because you're a holy man of God. And I fear God. And I recognize that he has been good to me. Prophet said, okay. Bye-bye. It was Gehazi that now came and said, sir, she doesn't have a son. Ah, the prophet said, that's my specialty. Call her. To know that that was not what she was looking for. When the prophet said, by this time next year, you'll embrace a son. What did she say? Don't lie to me, man of God. Don't lie to me, man of God. She wasn't doing it for anything. But our own now. Ha. This offering basket is your key to breakthrough. And you see us following sheepishly a lie. That next year, she had her son. I don't want to preach another doctrine on that now. Because after many years, the boy died. And she reminded the prophet, did I not tell you not to lie to me? And then, of course, you know the story. I don't want to sit on it. He raised the boy from the dead, told her this time, and I'll go and take him up by yourself. Last time I forced him on you. That's miracle number one. Two. Third one, her husband died. She traveled for a long time. People took her land and all of that. Then one day Gehazi was talking with the king. Of course, by that time, they don't sack him, Tete. Then that in the story of one boy that was raised from the dead. As he was telling the king the story, the woman came in with her petition to get her property back. As she came in, Gehazi said, sir, that's the woman I was telling you about. The king said, don't even bother. I don't want to see petition. Anybody there, just tell me the person's name. So yes, arrest that guy. Anyway, make sure everything was restored back to her. They paid her for the farming they did on the land when she was absent. Miracle number three. For a woman that wanted nothing. Our own every seed now must count. Oh God, I just have to say this morning. It's not my message for today. We'll get to our message. Those of you who carry tithe booklet to pray, you're a sinner. I don't care who told you to do it. I am telling you. You know, Jesus said, you have heard, but I tell you. So you have heard. When you want to pray, hold your tithe booklet. But I tell you, that's a sin. Somebody say, you have an offering for your kingdom investment. You have a record for your kingdom investment. When you invest in the kingdom, it's not for your own good. It's for the good of the kingdom. Yesterday, we discussed extensively here. That be like Jesus. He said he will see the result of the travail of his soul and he will be satisfied. If you invested, so to speak, in the kingdom, when you see souls saved, you see harlots coming to church, giving their lives to Christ, you see drug addicts being delivered, you see armed robbers, kidnappers who are repenting in tears and are becoming messengers of the gospel. Like one brother told me once, he works with us financially in the ministry. He says, sir, sorry, let me say this, my money is working. And what did he mean by my money is working? Far away from Enugu, not anywhere close by here. One young lady that came to work in their office, just gave her a ride from their complex to one junction where she could come down. As the girl entered the car, she removed her earpiece. So he said, what were you listening to? Ah, Pastor Panky said this. Is this Pastor Panky? He said he just played it cool. Didn't tell her that Pastor Panky is my guy. If I call him, you want to hear his voice? There's one brother that used to use my voice to shine for his wife. When the wife won't call me, he said, okay, long time, sir. How are you doing, sir? How are you doing, sir? And my wife wants to greet you too. You know, some young men came, children, they came to my house one day, it's like, you mean he's real? Like, he's a human being? Because in their house, they hear the message all the time. So just a little baby is a spirit that preaches from heaven. When he entered my house, the boy looked like, so you're a real human being? He didn't tell the girl, the young lady. She came down. He waved bye-bye and then called me. He said, sir, let me just tell you what happened here. I just gave somebody a lift and she was listening to you. just telling me, keep up the work. God is using it. And I said, please, sir, pardon me to say something. My money is working. That's Christianity. He said, my money is working. He will see the result of the travail of his soul. He will see the result of his offerings. And he will be what? Satisfied. My money is working. You know, those who are not really saved in that area, you know, their money is working. Last week, one pastor said we should give that offering. It was hard, though. I gave it. But this week now, look at my new car. Hey, the whole church of ignorant people will explode. We're rejoicing. You're only half born again. You're not serving the Lord yet. You're serving yourself. Eh? That's not my pastor. That's the problem. You have heard. But I tell you, that's what I'm doing this morning. There's a higher way to live. There's a more excellent measure of righteousness in which you take delight in doing good. The funny thing is, those are the kinds of people that God blesses. In which you take delight in doing good. I want to say delight, you're happy with it. You do something good, you do somebody good, he doesn't recognize you tomorrow. Hey, you are better. Like, hey, they want to know, it's not like, hey, you now owe me. You don't owe me anything. There's none good but God. God only used me, used my hands, used my resources. All praises to him. I think I had to help somebody there. Let's get back to our message. The law of the Lord is perfect, we read. Or the instructions of the Lord. He said, the precepts of the Lord are right. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. He said, the fear of the Lord, I've gone back now to verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. He said, the judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, than fine gold. 11 says, moreover, by them your servant is warned. I said, life is very complex. God will not give you more instructions. Usually instructions are just simple. One instruction. I've talked about this money. Don't love quick money. The Holy Spirit will not speak to you that this investment is false. He won't. There are times you are wondering, God, you saw me. Why did I? Hey, you didn't let me fall into this. God said, you don't understand. I give one instruction. Don't love quick money. You loved quick money. You are not asking me to tell you whether this particular scheme, which turned out to be a scam, is genuine. So I didn't say a word. I allowed you to hear all kinds of testimonies. And they convinced you that it works. Then you sold your house, sold your inheritance, and put into the scheme. And after 6 months, you realized it was a scam. Lord, why didn't you say anything? No, you don't understand. It was one word I gave you. Don't love quick money. You want me to not be telling you that MMM is false? Let's partner with you will not work? Give me another name now. The ones you are falling for, the one you are falling for. Eh? You fell for that one? No, I said the ones you fell for. I'm asking for the ones people fell for. I preach this message. Let me just preach it one more time. I won't spend too much time on it. How they scam you these days that they want to train you on forex trading. If you have ever put your money in forex trading here, put it up in your heart. Put your hand up in your heart. Don't put it up outside. I know it's so embarrassing. It's a shame, especially when you're an old man, you know. If they scam a 12-year-old, you can understand. When they scam you at 42, you know, you start wondering like, a fool at 40. Me, I'm a fool at 42. Modern day scams, let me tell you. Crypto trading. You know, there are these two brothers. They were indicted 2 days ago in Bulgaria after being investigated for years. What's their name? Yeah, Andrew Tate and his brother. It was something they said that made me laugh. So, they are in the United States. They wanted bail because they had been held that they may have to be extradited to the UK. Bulgaria indicted them now 2 days ago. It was one thing they said that made me laugh. Their lawyer. He said, usually don't grant bail. It's very difficult to get bail. I read the story on such cases because they are a flight risk. Because, you understand, you may want to run away. And he said, they are rich people. They have resources. They can intimidate witnesses, all those kind of things. So the lawyer said, no, they are not rich. So the prosecution said, what do you mean they are not rich? Look at all the pictures of fast cars, all those things. I'm like, he said, no. They are hired for picture. Yeah, that's where I'm going. Now, whether the lawyer is saying the truth or not is not the issue. This fact is that that's what they do. That that those cars are not really their own. That they hired them for the photo shoot. But I need to explain to young people again. Most of what you see online are fake. The lawyer tried to persuade the judge. Say, no, these boys don't have money the way you are saying, sir. The prosecution said, see all their cars. Say, no, those cars, they are not their own. Go and check. They've returned them. What about the houses? Now, short let. They just paid for 2 weeks. What about private jet? Oh, God, now hiring by the hour. They hired this thing for 1 hour. They went in, they flew up, they landed, they photographed it, everything. He said, who dashed Andrew private jet? That's what they were now begging the lawyer to please, the judge, to please understand. He said, they don't have money like that, too. Now, you may say that the lawyer was just trying to. What he said is what they all do. Do you remember this comedy you watched years ago, Pop Champagne? Yes. They were thinking that they pop champagne. Now, I like to use today's naira, right? But champagne that one bottle is like 2.5 million naira. You understand? Yeah, no, there are drinks like that, of course. You know, $1,000 drinks, you know, $2,000 and stuff like that. So the guests are supposed to be dancing behind him. So one of the guests opened the champagne. The guy stopped it. Who tell you you pop up? He said they know they pop up. He said now fake everybody they use. He said the director said, I told him to make it real. He said real. He said, no be bling, no be fake with the wear. He said, ask Don Jazzy, ask all of them. Now fake all of us the wear. That everybody wears fake. When you're online, let me tell you, that's how life is. I'm not trying to, attack any social media platform. I've never used Instagram in my life. Anything I've seen on Instagram, somebody sent me a link. So when people sit down there and trying to make their life look like Instagram, you want your life to look fake. You know why I'm saying all of this? What I want to tell young people, I feel like explain to some young men especially, young ladies also, is that nobody, I've said it again and again, nobody makes money trading crypto. They don't. Nobody makes money trading forex. Like my brother would say, that you go to, he mentioned the name of one of these big international banks. I can't remember exactly which one. Let's just say, he mentioned one of those big ones. He said they have like two floors in their HQ, with scores of people trying to predict the forex market. And they are still losing money. He said, then one Lamidi from Oju Elegba will not tell you, want to tell you how to trade forex. And you believe him. One boy who lives in Agbani Road here, he wants to teach you how to trade forex. The people who own forex, they are losing money on it. You're telling your father, if he will just lend you 5 million naira, you pay him back double in 1 month. You don't know why he's your father. He said he wasn't sharp. That's why he's not rich now. He was sharp. Now life box him back. No, when life has not given you a few jabs, you think those who are there, they are not wise. Mike Tyson gave us that quote. Everybody quotes all the time. So everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. You are going on, life just happens to you. Like somebody said, you just make plan finish. Nigeria go edit them. It's not Nigeria. It's life. See, life will just edit your. You know the other day, please, I'll get back to my main message. I just want to help some people. You know, the worst I've ever stayed on the road, I've traveled Benin to Enugu hundreds of times. Yes, I think I can say that. Okay, let's just say scores of times. Definitely it's not less than 100, 200 times. That's my gateway out of Enugu. My in-laws are there till now. All right? My local, which you hear about all the time, is Benin. I'm a Benin person. I mean, I wasn't born there, but, you know, that's a significant part of my life. That road between Benin and Enugu, the time I've been held on that road has always been Atonija. And the worst is just a few hours. That's before the second Niger Bridge was built. You see why I'm telling this story? My wife and I got up, went to Kaduna. My son said he's going to Benin. We left about the same time. We took a flight to Abuja. At 12 midnight, his mother called him. He videoed where he was. We didn't know where he was. He didn't know. Everywhere was dark. We are all here. You are all here. Yeah, some of us in the bus. Where are the rest? No, they are just outside, stretching their legs. Do you know just to leave Enugu from here? When did you guys leave here? 10 in the morning. He got to his place, 3:15 a.m. in Benin here. Now, you see, I'm telling the story. And it's one of the, in quote, lucky ones. People slept there. Trucks were there for 48 hours with perishable goods. That's where I was going. This is a place where I've gone hundreds of times. That's a stretch I have never slowed down in my life. Got in there. Bam. It made news. Al Jazeera reported on it. It was international news. Truck stayed on that road for days. That was when it hit me. The reporter said there were trucks with perishable goods. You know what happened to perishable goods? They perished. Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan until they get boxed in the face. And they hit you in the face, that's when you know, say, oh boy. At the point in time, my wife was like, hey, we just prayed for him. I said, sir, let's go and sleep. We slept. I think we were just God. We just left. I said, I believe him. I woke up in the morning. Mother called him again. Oh boy, how are you doing? I'm fine. We finally got in here 3:15. Forget him. He's a young man. He has to go through affliction. I mean, because if you don't go through affliction like that, you think that you won't know how life is. You have to go through affliction. It's good. Those are the growing up things. Like when the child falls down, I say, Abba. The kid must fall down now. Like 5 times a day, then you know he's really growing. He doesn't fall down, he's a spirit. He float. Leg, not the church ground. The people I'm talking about are those who are doing business and loaded a truck full with perishable goods. And nobody thought it would take them more than a few hours. And 48 hours, they were still there. Go back to what I'm saying. So when you that harassing your father, say, you don't make him. They have a saying in Western Nigeria like that. They said that. The boy that said his father did not make it. The boy that said his father did not become rich. He says, your turn now, try. Yeah, that's the saying. He says, your turn now, try. And many people are trying. And they, of course, they will fail, but they don't know yet. And that's what I'm being sent to preach to you. Those who make money, I've told you again and again. Just one more time, I'll say, because of some people this morning, I'm sure they are watching this. Those who make money from crypto trading and forex trading are those that teach. And they know they don't trade. One day, a man that's my friend, I said, how's your daughter? The one that's so school. He said, she's still there. I said, how would she still be there? It's just supposed to be a 6-year course. I know when you moved her over there. This is the funny part. He did because UNM kept them on one spot for 2 years. There was a time, you know, there was COVID, there was strike, there was this. This young lady was on one spot for 2 years. The father got angry, came, withdrew her, took her to another high-end school. Very expensive. Those ones that they roll millions every year to pay fees. I asked him, I said, how is she doing? He said, she walked away from the school. I said, what? Because the young lady wanted to make it. I said, what does he do now? He said, she does forex trading. I said, no, the next thing I said, how much money has she lost? That's always my question. How much money has she lost? He said, no, she's doing well. I said, it's not true. I said, it's not true. She can't be. We're sitting here. I don't know who was with me that day. Yeah, you. Thank you. We're testing some new equipment we had. We're sitting here at the back. He came to see me here. I said, no, it's not true. She doesn't make money. He said, no, actually, she doesn't trade. She teaches. I said, hey, no, you should have said so. She doesn't trade. She teaches. There's one particular guy in Abuja. I saw his profile online. People talked about him. He's Nigeria's crypto king. And I laugh at the young men. I feel sorry for them. He will organize a course. One course is 250,000 naira. Now, if I charge, this all of you that came here, if I charge you only 10,000 naira for listening to me this morning, do you know how many houses I would have built in Enugu? That means this one, if they walk around, they preach free of charge. First, okay, I saw him just now. Apostle, hey, see you there. Just they preach free. Two of them, so arrange conference, how to make eternity secure and be a multimillionaire in heaven. And then on earth, you could just do billionaire easy. Guarantee it has worked. Then you go, I'm telling you, Rolls Royce is, Apostle, you come with Rolls Royce, you come with a Bugatti. You understand my point? Now, just to borrow for a few days now, just pay a few million. You can't take picture. The powerful Enugu pastoral combination. Now tell them spiritual course for making it. Each person is 200K. And that's because you just pity them. But when you do this course abroad, last time you did it in New York, each person paid $2,000 and there was no seat. Because you had only seat for 100 people, $2,000. Now you're in Enugu 200,000. They should understand that you're just being nice. And by the way, you're using Amadio, only 500 seats. If you don't pay now, there's no seat for you. You go full. You go full. You don't put God inside. You now put under it, to God with the glory. Oh, my Father. You put to God with the glory. Oh, boy. 500 times 200K. How much is that? Who is good with mathematics, Mama? You didn't know how to do arithmetic. 500. No, no. 500. If you take one, that's 2 million. That's 100 million now. One program. Well, not that two of you would die and go to hell. I collected the tithe. So the ROI is heavy. You pay the guy, you borrowed his car, do everything at the end of the day, and then you, part of it is supernatural money. So you have located two or three loud mouths in that place. You wire them 10 million supernatural money. They are the ones that will give testimony next time. Since I was going that day, I didn't know what I did. I just got an alert. Someone now called me and said, you won't know, your father was good to me 500 years ago. Brethren, you know, you'll be surprised. Do you know pastors, isn't it, I'm telling you? I'm telling you, see, it's painful. Those guys that tell you, they're teaching you crypto, that's what they are doing to you, young people. That's what they are doing. Let me tell you, look, I've seen the analysis of it. You go forex, they always refer you to a particular place where you start your trading. What you don't know, that place gives them a cut each time you put in money. That's what they are making money from. They make money from the courses they give you. They make money from the platform they tell you to go and trade. Nobody who follows them ever makes a dime. My brother came the other day. He came to see me. He's a pastor somewhere. He probably is listening to this. As soon as I said, sir, I wanted to see. How are you? Sit down. He came, he sat down. I said, so how's that your rubbish crypto business? He said, sir, you know about it. I said, why won't I know about it? You advertise something every time on your status. I won't know about it. Are you all right? Shame, come catch him. I said, so how much money have you lost? He said, actually, sir, I made money. I said, stop lying to me. My friend, you lost money. He said, sir, there was a time I invested 500,000. I made 1.5 million. I said, so where is it now? He said, actually, you're right, too. Because I bought Trump coin for $70. Now it's worth less than $4. I said, I told you. So I'm just waiting whether I go recover. I say, see, that's the problem. It will never recover. I said, as you leave me now, go back home, liquidate every nonsense thing you invested in, you call crypto or forex, and go and face your work. I hope I've helped. I've said this thing before. Once in a while, I go back to it just to help young people. See, let me tell you, you won't be rich in your 30s. Let me just let you know now. Any pastor telling you you will be is lying to you. I'm telling you how to be rich when it matters. That's what I'm teaching you. And now you're going to be rich when it matters. Now that you are young, you're in your 20s, you are crawling very soon, a few years later, you'll be in your 30s. Go and make sure there is something people need and they remember you. I hope you're getting my point. Make sure there is something people need and they remember you. It may be to tile their floor. It may be to paint their wall. It may be to repair their car. It may be to make their clothes. It may be to teach their children. It may be to import goods. It may be to clear goods. It may be to, listen, preach the word. It may be anything. It may be to landscape their compound. It may be to build their house. But please, work on that. Don't change trade every day. Just make sure there is something people need and they remember you. That when your name is stored on people's phones, something is put after it. People like me and these men that say you should go and do things that sent to heaven just now. If you go and check, almost everybody that stores our names, unless they knew us from childhood, they put pastor in front of it. Once they type pastor, the name pops out. And that is why, please, if you're a pastor, try and be a pastor. Do you understand? Do you get my point? Don't confuse people now. Let me just leave it there. You know what I'm trying to say? Some of you are pastor, you are business trainer, you are selling land, you are selling. At the end of this, so many things. We don't know when. So in front of your name, will be estate. Valua, there's in front of it, there's pastor. In front of it, there is a crypto. There's forex. There's tailor. There's import. Yeah, you know, in itself, none of them bad, but only you. You're even an entertainer. You don't join this guy. You don't do your hair like this. Some of you are even comedians on top. When they're inviting, you know whether they're inviting to teach the word or somebody will come. Ay, yeah. Please now. The point I'm making all of this is at least go and check something. You know, there's one guy, you know. I know him a bit. My wife used to say, it'd be nice to this guy. And I said, beg. I said, listen, all these years I've known this man. What does he do? Even she that said I should be nice, she can't tell me. How can you know a man and woman all these years? Somebody can't identify with something. See, brother, it doesn't have to be big. You know, one of our brothers, he told me a story. Now, when I tell you, you're going to be shocked. You are going to say, hold your chair because you're about to fall down. So anytime this guy goes to one particular man's house to cut the man's hair, say if his son is around, the son is 14. Is it 14 or how much? Maybe 10. This guy will cut hair for that man, and the man pays 500,000. If he cuts for his son, he pays another 500,000. He says, sir, I'm not a story they told me, somebody I know. He drives to your house to cut your hair. People he cut for, they pay him ₦500,000 per head. Precious says, your wife says, which kind of head? This kind is the same head. If you knock out with hammer, it go break. It's the same head. Now, I'm not talking about how much they pay now, but the fact that in their circles, he's, I don't want to call him a barber. He's a hair curator. Because you can't call him a barber. You can't be, you charge 500K to cut your barber. What about Uche down the junction? What's he be?
Do you get my point? The guy down there, you know, if I that cut hair there, he's a barber. This guy is not a barber.
He's a hair sculptor. Where I'm going with the whole story is that some of us are looking for big thing to do, to make big money. Don't worry. Just first of all, identify something you do. Do it well. I heard of one guy in Lagos. What he does is teaching. There was one man the other day. I needed to, you know, get his services to teach one of my kids. When he told me how much he was charging, I realized that from just teaching, he told me that he teaches in five universities. I was asking my daughter at that time, where does he work? He said, no, that's the work he does. If you hear how much he charges, this guy pockets millions every month from teaching children. One young man, he told me in Lagos then, he didn't have what you call work. So it's like, and he was very good with mathematics. I had teaching mathematics and I think I'm physics, but I think his math was teaching children. Then one day he got a job in an oil company and the children's parents refused. Say, you're not going anywhere. Sir, where did he go? Say, no, we'll negotiate this thing. I've got that they finally worked it out. Say, you want to leave? Now, of course, they're not using gun. They're using what? Money. No. If it is pay, let's arrange it. Okay, how much we shall pay you? Come, let us see. They gather the parents, come. Look, let's outbid Shell for this guy's services to teach our children mathematics. I'm not joking about this. There are people now, as I'm talking, all they do is teach. All their clients are abroad, they are paid in dollars. You are trying to scam somebody. Let me get into my message. I hope some young people heard me this morning. See, at the end of the day, you know one of the things I found out? I don't need to go to this. I need to go to it. All those who are following the devil into problems, who bet? Say, you know, the office of Satan's office and the devil's office, ancestral curses office, destiny destroyer's office, enemy of progress office, always has a word inside, bet. Otherwise, bet Jamaica bet. I don't want to put Nigeria because if I do, if I say I'm attacking somebody, are you getting my point? So let's do, okay, give me, let's look at one country that doesn't exist. Wakanda. In fact, that's what I was trying to remember. God will bless this young man. So Wakanda bet Wakanda, sure, Wakanda bet, all those kind of things. Once the app is on your phone, your destiny is in jeopardy. Do you hear what I say? Yes. Adults will be betting. I used to think it was a children problem. I didn't know it was an adult problem. I went to preach somewhere one day. One young woman wanted to talk to me. I finished talking like this. He said, please, what do we do? He said, I want to ask you a question about betting. I said, what? He says, it's not me. I said, good, thank God for that. He said, it's not my sibling. So he said, thank God for that. It's not my friends. Okay, let me tell you the truth. It's my father. I said to her, I said, see, there's nothing you can do. Can you pray? Yeah. Your mother can pray. Two of you pray. You have to attack that spirit from his life. And please don't fight him, because fighting him is not going to stop him. I said, just wrestle as much out of him. As soon as he gets money, people should have needs. Quickly, collect. Then the rest, let him. You know he will waste it. There's nothing you can do. But pray. Because if this God will serve, they answer women. So a lot of women, they like to fight. That's why God doesn't answer your prayer. Your husband wants to go out. You go and stand there. You won't go out. He will push you out and walk over you and go where he's going. Some people are even so crazy, they will hold the shirt. If you hold a man's shirt and he tears, go and ask Samuel and Saul what happened when he tore his shirt, his cloth. When they don't tear your kingdom, you know what I'm telling you. Go and pray. I told the young lady, I said, call your mother, two of you join hands. and pray sincerely. God, you don't know God. When he wants to deal with this man, he just come one day. I say you the bet. Give me your hand. You chop one finger. Say, I'm coming back tomorrow. If I see you, I'll collect the other finger. You see your father wake up in the morning, just share all this money. How are you? I just, all of you children, you people are so nice. It's not true. What happened was that, no, what happened to Laban? Now Laban was galloping on his horses to come and meet Jacob. Now one day, just stop. Everybody calm down. You are going to meet Jacob tomorrow. Whoa. If you talk any nonsense there, I'm coming back. Exactly. Be nice. Do you understand? Say after me, I am nice. Niceness is in my spirit. That's how God handle your husband, though. I'm telling you. Tell the young lady, that's all you need to do. What I'm telling this story is that you people, young people, don't start a bad culture that's guaranteed to destroy your destiny. Why this country has not banned those companies is what I don't understand. You can't let people be destroying your young people like this and you are fighting Boko Haram. This is like drug business. I'm destroying people and will let you thrive. Anyway, Sha, if the government won't do it, we are doing it already. Yes, we're using prayer to fire your soul. And for those of you celebrities that advertise betting, may God make your life a bet. Yeah, may God make everything you do a game of chance. If you invest money, it will have the same odds as a young man that's betting because you say you should bet. That's my prayer. And I pray about it every time. You are the one that puts your face out there, not me. You made it a public matter. I have gotten involved. I'm one of the guardians of the soul of this country. So if you're a celebrity, somebody better warn you that I'm going to put your marriage in jeopardy. I'll put your family in jeopardy. I'll put your business in jeopardy. By these words I have spoken, we don't withdraw from that nonsense or telling our children to go and bet to make it. Like I say all the time, JJ Okocha, was it betting that made you an international sports star? We know the training. We know the discipline that you star footballers go through. Kano Wanko, we know what you went through. Come on, be telling us to bet, the sporting bet. If you bet now, we'll make money. Thunder fire you there. Serious thunder. You crossroad, right? Lightning will strike. You go no say the real Shango is our Heavenly Father. Not that fake one they worship. Our Heavenly Father is the real Shango. Boom. What sense? How can people be profiting from corrupting other people? People are building refineries. They are building hospitals. They are building schools. You are building casino. May God bring that casino into your intestine. When you truffle, you're not going to know whether you go digest or not. When you truffle, you're also going to do grow. What sense? Is it good? Anyway, why won't you be betting when you don't go to church? Apostle, if they go to church regularly, they don't go bet. The Lord is good. I think we have to go to this once in a while. Let's get back to our message. There's a line we're on, right? He said, by them, your servant is warned. That's what I'm talking about. All these things we are saying is to keep everybody listening to them on the path of righteousness. Some will say, Pastor Bank, why are you so harsh? Have you not read Isaiah and Jeremiah? Am I harsh? Where those guys are? You have not read Jeremiah. That's why you call me harsh. All I said that God should put casino inside your stomach. That's all I said. Okay, you are angry. May God put two. He said, in keeping them, there is what? Great reward. Follow what I've said this morning, young man, young woman, and your future will be bright. Learn a trade, learn a skill Go to school. Educate yourself. Make sure you can impart knowledge into others. And then relax. Just keep faith wherever God opens a door for you. And watch what your future will be like. You can't force God to bless you financially. If you like, give offering from now to tomorrow. God will collect it too. Anyway, you know he doesn't collect anything. Nine boys. Yeah, we his boys now. We'll collect the offering. And if we are righteous, we'll use it to preach. And use it to eat. Are you getting my point? Both of them are righteous things. But you, nothing for you. So don't think you can bribe him into, you know, making you prosper. No. Be faithful in how you use money. Giving is part of faithfulness. But you can't bribe him. Some people will be giving dangerous offerings. See, there are two kinds of scams. There's natural scam and there's spiritual scam. Giving God big offering. You remember that's what you told us yesterday? Say one young man got to Abuja. They posted it from somewhere. In 2 months, his church, they had bought land, permanent site. He had acquired 2 cars in 2 months. 2 months, he said? Yeah, in 2 months. That means that he looked at the person telling him, he said, the guy is a false prophet. He didn't even ask questions. He said, no, that guy is a false prophet. And that's the truth. He said, look, because you just arrived one time, in 1-2 months, you know, he said, what God cannot do does not exist. Leave that thing. What God usually does not do exists. Don't come and deceive me. I know we say it all the time, no? What God cannot do does not exist. Of course he can do anything, but what, do you know? What? Okay, let me ask you. What God cannot do, does it exist? No, what it cannot do? What God cannot do does not exist, actually. It doesn't exist. He can do anything. He can do anything. Can he make a young boy who's 5 years old today suddenly become 25 by next week? The answer is yes. He can. Have you seen him do it before?
No, sir.
Is it because he can't?
No, sir.
But because he doesn't. So anytime we make statements, just know the context. There's no sickness he cannot heal. And he has healed all kinds before. Thank God for that. There's no sickness he cannot heal. So we can say it. There's no provision he cannot make. There's no need he cannot solve. He cannot meet. There's no problem he cannot solve. But within his powers, he won't take a 5-year-old boy today. And you come and see the boy in 1 month, he has the height of a 25-year-old, he has the build of a 25-year-old, and he has the wisdom of a 25-year-old. God will say, Banky, come, come. You want me to do it? For what now? So the boy won't enjoy his childhood. Part of what they said was Michael Jackson's problem was that he did not have a proper childhood. He was rehearsing and, you know, performing at the age of 7, 8, when his mates were doing mischief. His mates were hiding inside the cupboard while the brothers and sisters were looking for them. He was in the studio. When he became old, he was not trying to be a child. Where I'm going is that I know God can do anything. For some people, just, you know, one of the problems Christians have is expecting nonsense. What did I call it? They say miracle money is coming right now. You will get a lot on your phone. I'm sorry. I said I won't be saying bad things again. My wife has told me to pastor, slow down. But it just sometimes annoying. You come for a meeting. Say right now, how many people are getting their lot? You have not seen it? Hey, precious. Joshua, where has your wife been? You've not seen it? They will say, all right. We are getting ready now. Miracle money, miracle money, miracle money. Ah, you see them screaming. Woo, 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 woo. I just got an alert. 200,000 naira. The name I want to call you cannot be published. So let me keep quiet. All over the hall right now, people are getting under. God say, hey, who am I scamming here? I just go collect somebody's money, transferring to you from where? Hey, Pastor, but what God cannot do does not exist. But very established that what he does not do exists. If you go for a, you see, let me tell you, if you go for a miracle meeting, and you say, this night, everybody here will just be getting alerts. You get an alert from a strange number. Just go to the bank. Say, guys, excuse me. I got this alert. I don't know who sent them. Before they go and use your money, your bank to collect kidnap money. Now, so DSS will lock you up for a long time. You'll be there telling stories. You go explain, tire. The pastor, don't go. Part of the problem people have is expecting nonsense. You know, young ladies have been scammed like that. Meet one man on Facebook. The man saying, go give her money at the restaurant. The man denounced and said, okay, I promise you money, right? Okay. Let me have your account number. 500,000 naira. The girl is happy. The man sends her 500,000 naira just because he's a nice guy. See, there's no nice guy like that. Let's just get this one clear. Those of you are expecting nonsense. You know, I told the people expect nonsense. No, see, I was young too. There was a time I was expecting rubbish. So not as if you are. Some of these I tell you, think, this man is so wise. I'm so old also. That's part of it. This wisdom doesn't just come because you read the Bible. You read the Bible, you pray, you pass through life, you get frustrated. God sits you down and say, you don't learn. I say, yes, sir, I've learned. He said, good, go on. It's the only problem I have now. People coming after you, I hope they will learn from you. Pastor, young pastor, just ahead of church, you are 26. You're waiting for the Dangote to come and say, I saw grace over you. You see grace on you, I just give you 200 million. Yeah. Apostles, do you know they are waiting for it? Oh, but if there's no money, evening, buy yam, resell. They'll buy nobody. Nobody will be there expecting rubbish. You know what it is, these young ladies? One story ahead. The guys are waiting to collect money. Say, I will send you an account. The girl sends the account. They forward it to somebody they are scamming or they are defrauding or they kidnapped relative. 5 million naira. So the guys get the alert. What did the man promise? What alert did he get? And the girl, it's a mistake. It's a mistake. Oh, so sorry. Oh, please, can you just move the money back for me? The guy said, okay. All right. No need. If I need cash right now, let's just go to that bank. They've arranged all kinds of things, POS, whatever it is. She collects the money, the record. Of course, it's going to go. It's disappeared. She doesn't know. He never met him before. He goes to the Facebook page, gone. Now you police know. Like we say, you go explain, tire. Yeah, gives her 500, collects the 4.5 and walks away. You'll be there explaining. Stop expecting nonsense miracles. That's the point I'm making. Go and read your Bible. Financial miracles that God did. He said the poor, he preached the gospel to them. Read your scriptures. The people he did miracles for, usually what did they get? Food. The widow, God did a miracle for her. Sustained her daily food. All the people that Jesus fed, 5,000. Did that food last you tomorrow? One meal. You want a miracle? You go and till the land. I will give you rain, the time for rain. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. That's pests. A process of time, your crop will produce. You go to a church, somebody say that today is the day of miracle. Hold your phone. Allah is about to come. That's coming you. And if you're a pastor, please, it's not every testimony you put on the pulpit. Yes, sir. One day my son went to church. Somebody came to give a testimony that he placed a bet for 300 naira and won 2 million naira. And the pastor dared to give such a clown the microscope. Okay, that's my professional tool of the trade. We use microscopes. Is that okay? And they give the clown a microphone. Praise the Lord. God said, praise who? I said, listen, if I'm one of those guys, of course, I'm a bad person, that's why I'm running that kind of business. I will locate, they do these things. I will locate people. It's no problem. Ah, why? Play bet on our own. I won't tell you anything. You bet 1,000 naira. I make sure you win 1.5 million. As long as you testify. You know why? You know now. By the time 1,000 people hear your testimony, what do you think they will do after? Go and do likewise. And since God could do this for you, he will do it for me. And he will do it. It's the season of what? Double, double. So you bet 1,000, we are betting 20K. Because if God turn your 1,000 to 1.5 million, you bet 20K, you go turn it to 30 million. Before December, we'll build a house and we'll buy a, what do you call it? We'll buy a Prado, yes. Because you testify, oh boy, we'll make a killing from amongst Christians. And they'll put their betting number down. Kalabasha, Father God, I strike my betting number with manto. They'll pour oil on the phone. May that phone die in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Say amen for me, Joe.
Amen.
Rubbish phone they are using to embarrass the kingdom. They ask the young man who's betting, what work do you do? When do you go to work? You can't answer it. Listen, God can do anything. Doesn't mean he does anything. You want to hear the truth? You 25-year-old boy that you are sowing seed. God said, leave that thing. The first day you will see a million, you'll be 40-something. So better go and walk. You will see it. I will make the money. You go crawl to 950. I go drop him again. And if you don't, and that one I'm talking about, that's as me you are walking. If you're not walking, forget. You will never see 50,000 that are put together. And for those, I just feel like saying, for those who now hang around church, see, we don't need you in church. We have closed door. Service is over. Do you get my point? You are not a security company. Don't worry, we'll pay security company to come and guard the place. Young man won't want to work. We'll come and hang around church. Service is on Sunday. Okay, come on Monday, help us fix things up. Then go away. You don't want to learn a skill. Some people are killing the doors of seminary every day. Just so you can get the title reverend. Irresponsible reverend. If you're a pastor, any young man wants to work, what are you doing currently? Go and work first. When you have worked hard for somebody, I will be using your spare time. They will not say, oh, this guy, you really feel like this is where God wants to be. Okay, come over. Well, you've proven faithful. And when they sack you in three places because God called you to ministry. Who did you see him call to ministry that was being sacked? He went to where they were working and called them from there. Matthew was doing his task collecting fraud. God called him from there. You want to just be hiding around. When God spoke to Moses, was he on Sunday after service? He was sleeping. He was a shepherd. He was walking. When they told Amos, you are a prophet. Go and do your prophesying in Israel. He said, no, I'm not a prophet. What did he say? He said, I'm a keeper of sycamore trees. There are two things he said. He described what he did. When God called Elisha, what was Elisha doing? 12 pairs of oxen. Massive farm business they were doing. When the prophet came to the farm, some people, they are sleeping at 9:30. And God now say, I have called thee. I haven't called you. The Satan is calling lazy bones. Some people say, God said I should not walk. Put work in their hand first. You know that God really condemned them to can't walk. Yeah, you know, there's God said I should not walk. Put work in his hand first. You know that what he meant was that God has afflicted me with inability to walk. That's what he meant. It doesn't mean that God called me and set me aside. No. Can we get to our message for today? No, we get to this point once in a while. Because Christianity is not a joke. Our God of miracles does not train irresponsible people. People cannot be dependent on for anything. That's not our God of miracles. See, no miracle will make you a millionaire. Let me just tell you now. Those of you who are waiting to be made millionaires through miracle, it will never happen. What God cannot do does not exist. But what God does not do exists. It's not about can, it's about what does it do normally. Read your Bible. The poor, he preached the gospel to them. Don't forget this thing I said though. The poor, he preached the gospel. And that poor is physically poor. Because the lepers were physically lepers. The blind were physically blind and stuff like that. So the poor were physically poor. So he solved their poverty. But were we through a miracle? No, he was careful not to give them a miracle. Because the miracle always ends up where they started, back in poverty. One young man the other day, I saw somebody using him to teach. Oh, just a beautiful story, his life. You know, sometimes just ask God, say, please don't make me a bad example for people not to follow. Are you getting my point? You know, there are people that God says, I'll make you a bad example. So every young person, you say, don't be like that man. Say, please make me an example for people to follow. This guy was a good example initially, then I told this emergency miracles. They said they called him Dr. Water or Professor Water. Do you remember his story? Yeah. He used to speak with phone and speak, you know, he sells water in traffic. But he did it with so much enthusiasm, everybody loved him. They videoed him, put him on social media. He's selling water, bottled water, sachet water in traffic. And he'll speak so much chemistry. Take your H2O here, guaranteed to rehydrate your system. Your cells need water, you know. He says things like that. And everybody loved him. So when we were in Lagos, there was a traffic warden we loved like that. The guy used to dance when he's controlling traffic. All he used to do was dance. He doesn't just do like that. Like, he does like, then he spins, puts up his hand, come over. Then, you know, he gives you a move. People will break dance. People will stop to watch him. Then people do their work with that kind of enthusiasm. This young man was like that. Then one water company decided he didn't know. You see, when you are being used, you should know. They were not rewarding him. They were doing their corporate social responsibility show. They blew a few millions on him. They rented a shop, bought a fridge or freezer. They painted the shop, did everything, gave him money, and stocked it with water. And of course, they also videoed it. All of a sudden, millions dropped into his hands. A year later, he was on social media begging for another chance. He did not know where all the money went. I said, whoever did that to him was a wicked human being or a very ignorant person. See, I'm not, please, get my point. It's either you were wicked, you didn't care about him, you just wanted to do your branding and get your branding done with, or you're really ignorant. You thought you were helping him. How can you take a man who turns money over on a daily basis, small money, and suddenly dump millions on his head, and you want him to manage it? He's a young guy. There's a reason why they are called young. It's because they are inexperienced. You can't give a young man 10 million naira and he won't buy a Samsung Ultra. No, think about it. What? Or iPhone. And his friends must see it. He must send an email where to be attached, sent from my iPhone. He's a young man. He won't know that he can't buy it from his capital. Not because he's wicked, but because he's young. You buy, you give a young man some that kind of money. Haba. Amaka is his neighbor. Amaka has been looking down on him. He has to take Amaka out, spend money on her, and tell her he's not interested. Yes. He didn't spend that money for anything. Just wanted to let Amaka, I'm not interested. You're not fine. You're not fine. Leave that in. Amaka, you still say you're fine. I'll get another girl. We're fine, pass you. Do you remember that song? He'll just spend money. Amaka will come out, she will chop shawarma, chop suya, eat anything you like, buy juice, everything. Every time you finish, at the end of the day, dash her 20K for transport home. That's to let you know, say, me and you not day for this, hey, Mokati, go. Just leave that in. It's not because he's wicked, it's because he's young. He gave him that amount of money. Of course, we don't know exactly what he did, but at the end of 1 year, he was broke. A young man that's normally joyful and happy, he was now there begging and crying.
Fellow Nigerians, give me another chance.
How many chances do you think we have to spread around? We gave you one. We'll give you a second one. Meanwhile, we have guys who have not collected half. I've heard say, oh, but you have not learned your lesson. Ask me another chance. You haven't learned anything. If you wanted to do business, you should have told us, guys, please give me the chance to be an apprentice somewhere. There's a reason why, even in doing business, people are apprentices. You go to the shop. It will be your job initially just to open, clean, and watch. You come early in the morning, you open the place, arrange the goods, you clean the place, and you don't touch anything. You don't talk to a customer, you don't do anything. You just watch while they do it. Then you check how, then you continue to grow bit by bit. They show you how they do accounts, how to know the correct products. This is not right. Customers are as fraudulent as the people selling, you know. All of us are human beings. I listened to one video when I was coming just now. He said, even God knew that he could not eradicate sin with a flood. He said, he wiped away everybody and left 8 sinners on the boat. He said, the sin survived the flood. We didn't want generation. They don't curse each other. Curse me, Canaan. Why? He was a sinner. His father, at least. So, they will show you how to identify. You know, stuff like that is gradual. You think it's just narrow trading? No, you need 3, 4, 5 years there before you head. You give a young man. That's why Jesus did not. So, those who are waiting for sudden miracle money is not coming because God is wise. He doesn't want to destroy you. Glory has weight. The literal meaning of the word glory in Hebrew is weight. Paul twisted it just to help us understand. He said, the weight of glory. That's what Paul was saying. But glory is weight. So young man, young woman, patience. What did I say? Patience. One man did a video, I saw it. He said, most people, talking internationally now, that most people become millionaires in their 50s, not their 40s, not their 30s. The millionaires of the world, most of them are in their 50s before they meet to be millions, to be millionaires. The Lord is good. We just had to do that prophetic assignment this morning. Let's get back to the main message. I try to get back to it once in a while, then we'll keep talking. Back to the verse. No, we're talking about sin, righteousness, and God's judgment. He said, moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me, Lord, he says, of hidden faults. He said, acquit me of hidden faults. Also, now these are serious prayers. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. There are two kinds of sins here. What he calls errors. Sins, they're mostly things of ignorance and the flesh compelling you to do something you have no control over, actually. Also, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. These are the ones you do knowing that God will forgive. Do you hear what I said? You know it's wrong. You have the capacity to do right. But you wait two and two. Say, no, doing right will not favor me now. I will do it. God will forgive me. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let errors, faults, and presumptuous sins, let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The Lord is good. We are talking about sin, righteousness, and God's judgment. The second scripture I want us to read, let me just read from the New Living Translation, is Isaiah chapter 48, verses 17 and 18. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is good for you. It's the same thing that Isaiah is saying here. And leads you along the path you should follow. He said, oh, that you had listened to my commands, then you will have had peace flowing like a gentle river and righteousness rolling over you like waves in the sea. Brethren, let me now explain something. Last time we talked about worship, right? Now, there are three things to worship, all right? We're talking about sin, righteousness, and God's judgment. So I'm explaining something. First thing we said about worship is that the reason why we worship is that that's how we tap what? Divine life. You remember that? So the first thing we said is anything that obstructs the flow of that life, whether it's good or it's bad in the eyes of human beings, it is sin as long as it is obstructing the flow of what? Divine life. All right? Then the second thing we said last time, we were defining sin. We said sin is what? Obedience to the offers of the world. When the world makes an offer and you follow it and disobey what the direction that God is leading you, that is sin. That is a major thing about sin. That, okay, you know, we said that the core, yeah, let me remember now. The core of sin is what? Eating of the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is what? Independence. So we said that desire for independence is what? Is sin. And that is actually the core. The rejection of God's law, that is like as a principle. That am I following God or I'm not following him? So when I choose to follow my own independence, we call it sin. And that is what now brings forth the deeds of the flesh. That the deeds of the flesh are a fruit, just like the fruit of the Spirit is a fruit also. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, self-control, those things. All right? But the deeds of the flesh, we read them also out. And we say these are products of, they are the fruit of sowing to the flesh also. And so what is flesh? Independence from God. When you think you have your own wisdom and the word of God is not final to you, that is sin. When you think you have your own wisdom, like one young lady was saying, say this one part of the scripture I cannot agree with, that is sin. You have not done anything, you have just rejected a part of the scriptures. Leave the Bible first. Let's get practical. That is sin. Anytime you think you can be practical in without, no, not just in disobedience, but without recourse to what God has to say about that matter, that is sin. Sin is when you are avoiding church because you know pastor will preach about this. That is sin. I hope you're getting my point. Sin is when you know, it's a common issue. When people want to walk in sin, Christians, sincere Christians. Now, those who are not sincere Christians, they will come to church anyway. Anything pastor likes, may he preach. But sincere Christians, they avoid there. Because they want to get away from what he's saying. That is sin. Now, that is what now produces what? The deeds of the flesh. That's what we preached last time. All right? So today, we are taking sin in another dimension now. Now, we have explained that God has commandments. He has instruction, he has his laws. Now, sin now, the third way we are looking at sin, is when you transgress those laws. Whether deliberately or not. There are two kinds of sins in this regard. There are sins unto death and sins... Okay, let's start with the first one. The sins not unto death and the sins unto death. John was writing about it. Now, what is sin unto death? Not unto death. The sin not unto death is the one in which we can plead ignorance as a mitigating factor. We can say that I did not know. Now, remember, whether you knew or did not know, is still a sin. It's just that because sin is not you were disobedient. No, sin is that you did not do the right thing. There are two reasons we don't do the right thing. Either because we don't know or because we are disobedient. I hope you're getting my point. There are two reasons you don't do the right thing. Either because you don't know or because you knew but you were disobedient. So, over the first one, there's something halfway, which is what Eve did. You knew but somebody persuaded you otherwise. So the Bible says that you are what? Deceived. So Eve was deceived. But fundamentally, it's ignorance. So Paul said, God had mercy on me because I acted in what? Ignorance. He never knew Jesus. You know that. He was not aware of the resurrection. He was zealous for the law of God. But he was fighting Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus never said, come and give your life to me. No. Jesus just showed him that he was real and that the disciples were not lying. And based on that, instantly he was converted. So he acted in ignorance. Jesus just said, why are you persecuting me? Who are you? I'm Jesus who you are persecuting. Oh, you are real? These boys are not lying. On the spot, because the spirit of righteousness was already working in him. He gave his life to Christ. He was baptized. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. All right? Ananias did that when he came to see him. Or these, those things. Now, where I'm going is that he said, God had mercy on me because I acted in ignorance. So, this is the sin not unto death. The one in which the person acts in ignorance. Or really was sincerely deceived. What is sin unto death? It's what David here called a presumptuous sin. You took Uriah and you killed him. You're trying to cover up another sin. There was no deception here. You knew murder was wrong. You needed somebody's husband. You have committed the first one of taking his wife and having relations with her. Now you went out of your way to murder him so as to cover your name. This is not like God I did not know. It's God I knew. I couldn't face the natural consequences and did not give a damn about the spiritual consequences. And that one is later. I thought. That's what David calls a presumptuous sin. I hope you're getting my point. Let me say this again. Refusal to learn, therefore, is also a sin. Refusal. You know, I shared a video with some people. I was saying that Felix, I mentioned that I'll send it to you. So just share it in the Kingdom World platform. Make sure everybody gets it. What's on my status? Is Derek Prince teaching how to be a father as a Christian? If you're an adult male, you must listen to that message. You say you've done round one. I like the way you said it. Says, sir, I finished it first time. I said, good. That means he plans to do it a second time. And please do it at least 3 times. I shared it. I listen to messages a lot. But a lot of times, it's at night. I fall asleep halfway through and all of that. Yesterday, Judah, it's as if I told myself, my computer has paused so I could listen to that message. Because if my computer was good, if you didn't take it away to go and have it fixed, when we finish recording in the morning, I'll have gone to sit down and started working. So now I didn't have anything to do after resting, you know. And I said, all right. And I now put on the message. Man, this man was sharing revelation. I was shaking. I listened to this message before. So I'm telling every adult male in this house, make sure you listen to Derek Prince teaching on, in fact, you know, like the way they say, put the link, or put the link in the description for this video. If you're an adult male, you don't listen to it. What are you? A sinner. You refuse to learn. That's where I was going. Refusal to learn itself. Because a lot of people want to hide. I've said to you before, if you don't know something, There's ignorance, all right? If the time comes for you to know and you don't know, it is taken as if you know. And God will still be righteous. God will say, hey, Banky, listen. Nobody will tell me anything. I gave him 4-5 opportunities to learn. He kept on turning his eyes away. Spiritually, it is seen that he's hiding from true knowledge. Because Christianity is discipleship. We don't do Christianity anyhow. Live the way you like. Listen to this. I want to say some things. You don't read the Bible when you like. That is, when I say when you like now, it's not convenient for 1 month. It's not convenient for 2 months. Hey, you don't know when last you took a Christian material and you read and you studied. I thank God for people, a number of things I thank God for. How it raised people like us. So I write a book. First thing I do, I put it on the web. Go and read it. I thank God for the way the society is, in which after a book has been out for years, we put in the public domain. Even if you wrote it for money, the society says no. After a while, we will collect it from you. Usually when it comes to books, it's after you have passed on. When you are alive, they leave it for you. So many of the books of these men we talk about, they are now free for you. Third, the modern day Roman road is the internet. And there's even books that are not yet in public domain. Some hackers have hacked it and put it on the internet. It's a sin to patronize them. Well, there are sins that God forgives people of. There are preachers that insist that they must sell their messages, audio messages. It's not a sin. But if somebody hacks it and distributes it, I will listen to it. It's not a sin. And I will dare you, go to heaven and report me. You write a book, you say it is 10,000 naira, 20,000 naira. I don't have the money. I'm not talking about me now. A young person doesn't have the money. So, and I see that there's one man at the back here. I won't mention his name. People like him used to do things like that for a living. You hack and throw it out there. So if God has said that, okay, they have done the iniquity. Me, I'm just collecting the gleaning. And I will pray God will forgive them. And when they finally repent, God will still forgive them. And there's a pleading we will plead. Say, dear Lord, it's your word. He's the sinner who passworded the word. God will say, Yahweh. You are my child of mine. You love the word so much. You were hungry for the word. Even though the manna was not, the bread was not lawful for you to eat, yet you ate it. Let me bless you extra. The zeal for thy house has consumed me. Now, so would they take escape those kind of judgments? Where I'm going is that there's almost nothing you want to learn that's not out there, and they don't cost anything. They are those say, no, my message is God gave it to me after 15 days fasting. There's no problem. You want to pay? We'll give Dami money. He will listen to it. Then he will come and preach his own. Won't buy your own. We'll download his own free of charge. It's not the same word. We'll give the Lord praise. One way or the other, this word cannot be in prison. Is that not what Paul said? He said, the gospel is not in chains. So you don't have any reason to be ignorant. If you pray sincerely and you go out for the word, God will feed you with knowledge. He will feed you with understanding. Don't forget that. Christianity is not something we just do any way we like it. Christianity is something that we have an assignment to do. You get up in the... It's like a school. We are admitted into university. You don't live anyhow you like. You must go to class. You must learn. Life serves you tests once in a while. You hear what I said? Yes, and you will pass those tests as you obey the instructions you hear from the word of God. Don't ever forget that. So, we're saying, what is sin, therefore, is when we break the commandments of God. Don't forget that. What are those commandments? Listen to this. Now, I need to explain this. There was something I said last time. I need to explain that first. Good. If you remember, we read from Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 at the beginning. But I did not explain why I read it. We said that, of course, that scripture says God created man his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them, right? Now, let me ask you a question. It's for you to understand how to interpret scripture. In Genesis chapter 1, all right, had the woman been created? No. He formed man. It was later I said it's not good for the man to be alone. Yet he said in that verse 27, male and female, he created them. No, there's nothing. I'm not trying to get hyper spiritual about it. It is a clear sign that this is a summary of what happened. Some have said that, no, this male, they are still in the realm of the spirit and all of that. I don't know. I'm not saying it's wrong. I don't want to belabor that fact. But this is an easier way to understand it. This is a summary. I dare to say to you, therefore, when they say God created man in his own image, that's also a summary. Listen, two arms, is that the image of God? No. One head with two eyes in front that can't see the back, is that the image of God? No. A mouth that requires food to eat to survive, is that the image of God? No. The man that needs toilet, is that the image of God? But as someone cannot imagine, imagine God going to the toilet. That's not the image. All right? What was that body? You go and see it in verse 20, verse 7 of chapter 2. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being or living soul. That was where he started from. Now listen to me. I don't have time to explain this in details. We've talked about it before. When we talk about the new man and his world, something, a new man and a new world, something like that. What did God do? Well, I've tried to explain to you that when he said male and female created them, he was summarizing everything there. Details were now given in the next chapter. And where God started from was he formed man. Now, what am I going to say? That man that he formed, he was now creating his image into the man that he formed. That was the plan. I don't know whether you're getting the point. The man he formed, God was now going to, first he put him in the breath of life, give him the ability to imbibe God. And when his image would have been perfectly formed in the man would have taken of the tree of life and lived forever. That was what was happening. So you are saying that day one, Adam was not in the image of God. That was what I said. You got me right. That there was supposed to be a process of forming the image. And what was that image? It's written for us in Hebrews chapter 1. You want to know the image of God? Go to Hebrews chapter 1. It said, he is the radiance of, verse 3, talking about the sun. He said, the sun is the radiance of his glory. And what? That's it. The exact representation of his nature. Let me ask a simple question. I'm sure now, if you were confused with what I was saying earlier, you can't disagree with this and you won't be confused. Was Adam on day one the exact representation of his nature? So it was not the image of God. Look at the way you say it with confidence. No equivocation. And that's what I'm preaching to you. Day one, Adam was not the exact representation of his nature. The exact representation of his nature was the aim of that creation. When if Adam had walked with God, we're talking about sin, all right, and righteousness. If Adam had walked with God, and I want you to know that's the call that God has given you to also. If Adam had walked with God, he would have reached a point just like the sun that he would have been called the exact representation of his nature. Those of us who learn faith and grace, we need to balance it here. Let me ask you a question. The day you are born again, are you the exact representation of his nature? Don't worry, I'll answer it for you. The answer is no. Those who preach hyper grace say yes. But the answer is what?
No.
No. The same thing, God breathed into him what? The breath of life, allowing him to be able to receive God. In the same manner, when Jesus rose from the dead, he went to the disciples, took them one by one, and breathed into them the breath of eternal life, allowing them to begin to receive the nature of God. Until one day the Lord will say, this is my beloved son also, in whom I'm well pleased. He becomes the exact representation of the nature of God. Anything that obstructs this motion is called sin. Now, you see where I'm going? So what is the process of that change? Last time we talked about what? Worship. Worship. Every time you come to worship, listen to this, listen to this. The way you continue to worship. Now, this is what happens. You come to worship. God always gives a word. The way his spirit enters into you, so that you continue to, you know, like we declare at the beginning. How do we declare? Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Yeah, the way I'm good is that now again, I incline my ears. Yeah, that's where I was going. The word is entering my heart. Now listen to this. It's giving me life, light, give me direction. It's healing me in every area. And most importantly,
it's making me more
and more of the Lord Jesus. That he might cleanse her by the what? The washing of water by the word. It's a process. It's a process. Now, this is what I'm explaining to you. For that process to continue, you come to worship, like I said. You know what you live there with? Ah, this is an interesting analogy. They came before the mountain. They came to see the Lord. Of course, they didn't see the Lord. What did they hear? They heard words. And what did the words say to them? Who can tell me? Eh? No. When they came to the mountain in Sinai to worship, to meet with God, when God, Moses said they should all come, that was a form of worship. They heard words. They came to meet with God. How did God manifest himself? I'll tell you. He gave them commandments. Commandments were for them the manifestation of God. You disobey the commandments, you are rejecting him. Do you get my point? You know, I was teaching my kids the other day to pray. I say, listen, ask God for anything. But I added one thing to it. I said, after you're asking for anything, always don't forget to ask him, what must I do to be saved? I don't know whether you get what I said. Let me give an example. God promotes me. And he says, amen. If you ask in accordance with his will, not from the east, nor from the west, or the south comes exhortation. But God is judge. He lifts up one and brings out another. All right? So that's in accordance with his will. All right? What's next in the answer? He said, I'm the Lord thy God who does what? Who teaches you to profit. So when you ask God to promote you, always ask him one question. What must I do to be saved? This answer I've asked, this request I've made, what is my own part? Now, it does not, see, it's not always logical. I told you when I was in school, there was a subject I did not like because I read it, I understood it, but I used to forget it a lot by chemistry. So for that, I didn't use to read it. So one day I went and prayed, said, God, please, this exam is coming, you need to help me. I particularly prayed about that subject. And then, when I left there, I had an instruction. And there were two instructions. The first one, and I don't know, you know, I was very young that time. And I understood. I don't know how I did. But I understood, as young as I was, that these are the Lord's instructions. First, stop saying it is volatile. You need to stop saying it. Because that was my confession every time. It's volatile. I don't remember it. I don't remember it. The Lord clearly, it was almost as if somebody told me. Rule number one, stop saying it's volatile. Rule number two, start reading it. I didn't used to read it. So I started. Except that, do you know what? Now, this is very funny. It was kind of late. Now, you see what I'm saying? But I started. In fact, that day, I've told this story many times. I got to class, I sat down. And the Lord, and my classmate came and said, I sat beside him. I still remember the guy's name. That was what he was reading. And he just said to me, out of exasperation, now, wow, this biochemistry is volatile. And he said it to me. Me that I just come from the place of prayer. A place where I went to ask the Lord. And he just gave me his commandments. So you know what I said to him? Biochemistry is not volatile. So I returned to my book. I turned to him a second time. I said, biochemistry is not volatile. I turned to my book. I turned to him a third time. I said, biochemistry is not volatile. He turned to me and said, like, oh boy, I made a statement, you made three. What is the fight about? You didn't know what I was dealing with. I was obeying the Lord. Paul said to Timothy, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. I was obeying the Lord. When I said it was a bit late, God had to intervene with a miracle. The exam was just a few weeks away. We write three subjects, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Anatomy, physiology, and then biochemistry. After physiology on Wednesday, we came to class to read. I was in class, so one of my classmates just made a joke. Said, this boy, I sure say you know the sleep self, something like that. They don't know me that, really, I wasn't sleeping. So I packed my bag and said, I'm going to sleep. Now I look back, now maybe it was an angel that possessed him. Said, you know the sleep. The exam period, we're reading and reading. You had many things to revise. So I packed my book that I'm going to the hostel to read and to sleep. As I was leaving, I saw one guy reading something. Then it dawned on me, since it gave us that manual, I remember it today, synaptic transmission. I had not seen it. The lecturer did not teach it. He just gave us the manual, like a handout. We made photocopies, and mine was inside the textbook, and I never saw it until that day as I was leaving. I just saw it. Ooh, I couldn't remember. I said, please, can I borrow this? He said, yes, he gave it to me. So I sat beside him and went through it step by step, read it, did what, the best I could. I thanked him and gave it to him. Next day, we came for the exam. I'm going to make it short. They gave us 8 questions. Say, answer any 5. One of them was that one. Now, in the morning was our OBJ, objective, that's what you call MCQ. So, between OBJ and the theory paper, all right, OBJ was generally easy. You could look at the possibilities. The theory was where you had to use your absolute memory. So, I went to go and relax. I sat down in the hostel. I went to the hostel. We had some break. Then I felt in my heart, you've not revised this one. So, I said, it's true. I read it. You've not revised this one, so, oh, it's true. I read it step by step, memorized everything. I went through it. Normally, forgetting it is the issue. I went through it again. Then one brother came in. So I packed my things and I left him. I went to hall 2 reading room. I sat down. I had enough time to just read one thing. And that thought came again. Oh, this particular one you've not read. How many things have you not read? Not read now? Three. Yeah. The night before, made it 4. I worked for the exam. All 4 were inside the 8. All 4. One after the other. I looked, said, dear Lord. They said 45 minutes more, I was done. In my mind, no, it can't be that easy. I started again. We revised this thing line by line. 15 minutes, 30 minutes more, I got to give them the paper. My classmates were surprised. The Lord intervened literally with a miracle. When I asked him, I said, Lord, help me. He answered with what? A commandment. If you want the nature of God, watch out for the commandment. Every time you go to worship, you come out with what? A commandment. I hope you're getting my point. Yes, sir. Every time you go to worship, you come out with what? A commandment. Israel went before the mountain and God answered, I am the Lord thy God. Now, these are the commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image. If you find any graven image or any temple, don't put the name of the Lord thy God on such a vain thing. That's the third commandment. And he gave them, thou shalt I can't remember the order now, but remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And he reeled out 10 of them, instructions to them. You know what he was saying? If you want the transformation from the body of clay to the image of God, you follow this order, then my spirit continuously flows into you. I don't care whether you're a grace person or not. If you don't have orders, instructions you are obeying, the spirit is not entering you. That's the purpose of the commandment. I'm watching my time. I'll come back to it next time. Commandments are given for the purpose of the flow of the Spirit. Last time I said we expose ourselves to the Son of Righteousness. But what does the Son of Righteousness give us that we can say we're left with? Their commandments. Instructions on how to speak, how to think. See, let me tell you what God does. He's the one changing you. Are you getting my point? What he just says, let me give an example now, very practical example. He just says, Saturday morning, get up in the morning, climb. What will happen after you climb and sit down here is no longer in your control. Do you get my point? Yes, but just give the instruction. You get up, leave your house, go and sit down. That's how commandments work. He just says, okay, I'm going to bless you. Don't bear false witness. And every time Satan will come with the opportunity to progress by bearing false witness. So what do you say? God is helping me, I will bear no false witness. God is helping me, I will not. See, meanwhile, let's use money again and business. You are talking about 20 billion naira deals. 100. You cannot say, I won't bear false witness. It will bring 1 billion naira. Will it? But God said, for the flow, your commandment is, you won't bear any false witness. So who was the first to submit the bid? You were the fifth. So your friend will have told you, when you get there, tell them you are the first. Because they normally give priority to those who came first. He said, okay, so are you one of those who submitted first? And the scripture will say, don't bear false witness. Don't lie. He said, no, sir. Actually, I didn't hear on time. I dropped my application on the third day. I think I should be at number 5 or so. And the man says, no problem. And your friend wants to go mad. Are you crazy? I told you, say you are the first. I tell him, but I'm not the first. You know what you are saying to him? Oh boy, it's not your help that will get us this job. It's the help of the Lord. I'll talk, please, I need to stop. But just know that's what commandments are about. Commandments are not to make your life miserable. No. Commandments are to bless you eventually. To do you good at the end. Commandment, I said, they are not to make your life miserable, but so they can do you good at the end. I will say one more time. The commandments of God are not to make your life miserable. They are to prepare you for the good that he wants to do for you at the end. Please, as you can imagine, this thing, there's plenty to say, but we have to stop. Meanwhile, let's give the Lord thanks for the word we've heard today. Let's say, Father.